What more do you want from me?
Me personally, I wouldn't take this level of disrespect.
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones, and I'm glad you're here to join us on another one of those Philadelphia Philly Fridays as we rock out here on Fet Life Station at FetLifeStation.com. Y'all can catch us at FetLifeStation.com. You can also catch us on our new podcast station, The True Stories Network. The True Stories Network, you know, we want to make sure that you find us there. So if you ever need, just type up my name. You know the irony about my name? My name, Professor Carl Tone Jones. If you type up Carl Tone Jones in your Google search, I am literally the only one in the entire world. I am literally the only Carl Tone Jones on the entire planet, at least according to cyberspace. And it's been like that for almost 20 years, as far as I know. And you can always find us. So you can find us if you hit up Carl Tone Jones. You can catch us on all your streaming platforms. The True Stories Network. All right. So I know sometimes it takes a long time to get into it, so I'm going to try to speed that process up because, and it's funny because when you start listening to yourself, that's when you realize that, you know, maybe I just need, you know, I listened to one of my podcasts recently and I said, yeah, I took too long to get to it. So let's get to it. And it's been kind of a crazy week. Been struggling with, I forget what they call it. But it's sort of like your body's synced patterns when it comes to sleep and rest and so forth. I was on vacation for a couple of weeks and then I went back to the plant. And as I went back to the plant, I noticed this week it's been like I've been really, really needing a nap. And I know it ain't because I'm old. I'm not that old. You know, but I've been finding myself in need of a nap. And, yeah. So, just getting the circadian schedule, whatever. I need to work on that. So, hopefully, you know, this weekend I'll make up for lost time and I'll get back on my proper sleeping schedule, you know, as we move forward in the rest of the school year. School year is about to start. So, football season is about to start. The Philadelphia Eagles are about to go on their quest to defend their Super Bowl championship. So, let's get it. Let's see what happens. You know, it's looking all right. It's looking all right, you know. But it's neither here nor there. That's why you play the games. So today, well, you know what? I'm gonna get started real early. I want y'all to check out a few things, man, because there is a noticeable pattern going on within the community. And I want y'all to peep this. I want y'all to pay attention to this notion because This is truly why people call it a gender war. And it is because of notions and parts of conversations like this, right? And hold tight, y'all. I'm just doing through things, mechanical things. All right, so I want y'all to check this lady out.
And there's nothing really to like about men. Like, when it all boils down, men are not really likable people. So when y'all be in my comments saying, you don't like men, no, I don't. And they know I don't like them. I tell them. I voice it. Like, you can actively not like men and still, like, date them if you want and tell them. I don't like y'all. I don't like men. They're not nothing really to like. Like, they're no fun. And if you find yourself liking a man, you need to fill in that space. Go back to school or start a business or travel more or fill that in with hobbies. Once you do that, you're going to realize really, like, I don't really like this motherfucker. He cool and all, but I don't really like him. I know for me, when I get busy and I fill up my schedule, I don't be liking these men. My grandma ain't like their ass either, but you know, it is what it is.
And so when we have the conversations about, like, we start talking about, like, open misandry, this is what we're talking about. Now, flip the script, right? And of course, she's most likely talking about black men. All right. I mean, she went back several generations. She's about as chocolatey as a Hershey's kiss. All right. So when people start talking like this, it just gives you it sort of gives you a perspective on how they see things, how they see the world. And as black men, we know that nobody really loves us. Shit, we have a hard time loving ourselves, loving each other. And I'm just talking about brotherly love. I'm not talking about that otherly love. You know, I'm not. What is it? Hold on. What is it? I always add something for the occasion. We ain't talking about.
So I spreaded my buns with some mayo and then got them on the griddle.
All right, we ain't talking about that love, all right? So peep this, right? That's not just a one-off, all right? And, you know, we know it's more than just about black men, right? This is more than just about black men. I mean, let me go back. This is mostly specifically to black men, all right? I'm going to let y'all hear this. I'm going to let y'all hear this clip real quick. Hold on. Hold tight. Hold on. I want y'all to hear this joint real quick.
What's your favorite thing about black men?
Nothing. Black men suck.
They're
bad. They cheat. They don't care. I'm with the white boys.
What's your favorite thing about black men?
Nothing.
Why is that?
I don't like black men. Not very many meet my standards.
What's your favorite thing about black men?
Nothing. They're just terrible.
Even when you just said that, because I'm thinking about the guest that we just had, she admitted that, you know, her father wasn't a productive father, which I guess justify why she is allowed to say negative things about black men. It's okay for black women to say stuff like that. Like, you know, they will critique a lot of black men sometimes with, oh, you must hate your mother. Like, mm-hmm. We get that a lot. You must hate your mother.
But they said that to me. I must hate my mom.
Yeah, like,
you're, black women accountable.
When black women have these negative thoughts about black men, nobody says you must hate your father. And it's clearly true.
Yeah.
That one experience can cause you to have a whole hatred
Absolutely.
Towards men. And for some reason, that's valid. But when, I guess, when a black man is not allowed to have that same experience with his mom.
Now I want y'all to listen to that, right? Because I want to counter that whole notion that, you know, black women have to go through this whole series of bad encounters with black men in order to form such a negative opinion, right? I want y'all to peep this, right? I want y'all to pay attention to this clip. This is a clip from Erykah Badu speaking to the origin stories of her most famous song, even by her association, by her acknowledgement. You better call Tyrone. Check this out. If it's anything, please.
Okay. you know, the queen of neo soul, but I don't want to be pigeonholed to creating one type of thing.
Yeah. Tyrone, in the article, you talked about...
By the way, this is an interview on the Tamron Hall show. So, you know, just letting y'all know where this is all coming from.
Joke of a song which ironically became my most popular. What was the joke?
It was like my sister and I, hey Coco, we always imitate our aunts.
Yeah.
You know, and they would be fussing or talking about the guy or what he needs to do better, you know, tearing him down. And that was my homage to that. You know,
and it came out live in that way. You just
I was freestyling. You know, just make
So and it goes on to show a clip of her performing the song in a concert. But that's just to go to show that that didn't originate. That whole notion didn't originate with any mistreatment from black men. And I remember interviewing my good brother. He's like a department head down at Prairie View University or Prairie View College in Texas. And, you know, one of the things he, Dr. James Jones, if I didn't say his name, one of the things he said was, you know, he spoke about the fact that a lot of women live their bad experiences or their bad experiences are grown through the memories of older women. And this is, you know, passed down. It's kind of a cultural thing, right? When you go and listen, I used to work in the houses, like as a therapist, I used to provide therapy for families, wraparound therapy for families, and white families out in the suburbs. Sometimes you know, it depends on what type of suburb it is. If it's a well-to-do area, you call it a suburb. If it's run down, you call it a county, right? Call it the county. So I was in the county and the suburbs out there, you know, doing this service. And you would see how culture is actually taught and trained around the kitchen table during times where food is being served, because it's a tie-in. It's a tie-in. It's one of the things that made the Black Panther Party Public Enemy number one. When they were doing their breakfast program with the children, feeding them morning breakfasts, and while they were doing it, they were fueling the children with revolutionary rhetoric, right? And, you know, and I don't mean rhetoric in like some sort of like off-color remark. I mean, rhetorically, they would just every morning they would feed the children. So the children would equate a warm belly with their fire and the message would resonate better. That's a sort of a psychological trick. And, you know, Dr. Huey Newton actually, I think he was actually a doctor in psychology. He had a psychology degree. So they understood that. So you take these girls and you put them in places with the aunties. And I've often said this, that the aunties are the biggest enemies of a black woman's happiness. The auntie's role as the general in the sisterhood is, you know, tearing these young women down, keeping them single, making them unwed mothers and things of that nature, making them incorrigible, right? Nobody wants to be around them. So when the other woman was talking about how she just has a miserable disposition and she voices it, she still goes on dates, right? And she was talking about how, genetically speaking, it's in her blood. Her grandmother was the same way. But it goes to show how mean black women feel as though they have, they're entitled to be with black men. And that's a lot of audacity. So, And then, you know, then you had the college campus. So when you heard the young women talking about that, you know, there's nothing good about black men, this, that, and the other. Let me just, you know, the brothers are not really going for it anymore. And shout out to Kevin Samuels. I was talking to one of my good brothers today. And he was talking about how, you know, as he's sort of like dealing with a dilemma, right? A moral dilemma. And, you know, he's approaching that stage in his life where he's finally accomplishing the things he needed to accomplish to fulfill sort of like the rest of his life, right? He's on schedule. And with that schedule, it's opening him up. He's getting a lot of attention from the sisters. He's a good looking brother too, you know, real good looking brother. Got that Wesley Snipes shit going on. I know. But yo, real, you know, my brother. So, and one of the things we realized is options, right? And his moral dilemma is he's always wanted to be a husband. He's always like coming home to a wife and family was his dream. I know, right? In these days and times. But that's when you talk to most brothers have that same mentality. It's not the brothers that don't want to get married in the community. It's not the brothers that are incorrigible. It's not the brothers that are being ostensibly violent and mean, right? And as a matter of fact, a shout out to, you know, a few brothers. I want to give a shout out to some brothers. Some identify as being part of the Black Manosphere. Some I don't. But I want to pay homage and respect to the brothers who actually attained this information. First of all, Dr. Tommy J. Curry, well-renowned professor, academic, speaks a lot on social issues, specifically issues concerning the just the hard conditions that black men are placed under. If you haven't read, go get his book, The Man Not. You can get the audio version on Audible. And it speaks to the incessant treatment of black men throughout society, systemic mistreatment of black men throughout society. And he counters this with a lot of different pieces, written pieces. He'll generate articles from time to time addressing the social political ills. And that's not the only area he covers, but that's just a strong area of concentration for him. He once even taught here in Philadelphia at Temple University for some time. But, you know, we live in a gynocracy, so he was forced to go over to Britain to resume his academic career. But I want to shout him out. You know, my good brother, Dr. Tiasan Johnson, an elder statesman on the that identifies as being, you know, one of the protectors of the culture, BGS Ibmore. I want to just, you know, give them brother shout. In fact, I'm going to come back, double back, because brother Tiasan Johnson actually posted this, and also the brother Medium Man, who has been citing a lot of statistics. You've heard me play some of his clips on this particular show, and I want to go over an article that speaks to this whole concept around intermediate violence, right? Intermittent violence between black men and black women. All right, because the notion has been put out, and the stereotype has been put out on black men for centuries about us being violent, about us being savages, about us having poor impulse control when it comes to our emotions and reactions, and how we are just implicitly violent, specifically towards women. Those were actually notions and stereotypes that was used to destroy black towns. You want to know how Black Wall Street got burnt down? You want to know how movies like What were some of the movies? What were some of the movies that? Damn it, the movie was on the tip of my tongue, because that particular town got burnt down in Florida, right? Damn it, it'll come to me. Trust me, they always do, you know. But there's several other fights and racial riots and the racial massacres. Most of those, Wilmington, North Carolina, all those were based on creating rhetoric around, and this time is propaganda around the notion that black men were savages and white women were not safe around black men. In fact, the movie The Birth of a Nation, produced in 1915 by Griffiths. Damn it, the names are just not coming tonight this time while I'm putting this up together. But I know his last name was Griffiths, who bore the movie from the book The Klansman, right? Birth of a Nation. Whole book was talking about how black men came into the Carolinas and assumed power, politically speaking, and then would go off and raping and killing white women savagely, had a savage lust for white women. The movie King Kong was based in that whole notion. Beauty and the Beast, all these things were based in the notions, right? This being despicable renditions of black men. Well, I'm not too sure about Beauty and the Beast, but it sort of falls in line. But I do know King Kong, this big gorilla ape from Africa, is only calmed and soothed by his lust and desires for this white woman, blonde hair, blue eyed woman. And then you bring him across the world and he then sees her in the audience of a show where he's been brought in chains. He's literally on the stage in chains in every version of the movie you watch. And his love for her, he breaks free from the chains, kidnaps her, climbs to the top of the Empire State Building, where he is then mowed down by jet fighter planes. You can't make this shit up. So you know, unfortunately, during the whole notion of the feminism, specifically when white women wanted to create a narrative that would work for black women, because black women didn't have the same issues, so they couldn't possibly have like the notion that black men were oppressing them, black men were freezing them out of opportunities to work, black men were blocking their abilities to vote and own properties and own bank accounts. Black men ain't do none of that shit. Black men never had the power in this country to do any of that, but they were able to change the definition. So when you start talking about black feminism, it was more based in social interactions, not letting black women be the face of the civil rights movement. Black men being violent and physically abusive to black women. And the sisterhood ran with that front and hook, line, and sinker with a lot of other notions. But I want to read you all something that came out in the 70s, right? So, and this is, shout out to Dr. Tiersan Johnson, and also the brother whose words I'm going to read right now, the brother by the name of Rodney Coleman. All right? So check this. In 1976, more than 820 black men and 709 black women were killed by intimate partner violence. Okay? By the intimate partners. That single year produced more black victims than all the white male victims across nearly three decades combined. According to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, intimate homicide data from 1976 to 2004. So I want you to understand that. In that particular time, more black women killed black men. More black men died at the hands of black women than black women died at the hands of black men. And when you consider the fact that the black female population has always been 1 to 2 to sometimes over 2 million more black women in our community than black men, that even makes this statistic more staggering. All right, so it also goes on to say these numbers did fall. By 2004, the rate of black men dropped to about 6.3 per 100,000, dropped from 6.3 per 100,000 to under 1. For black women, from 5.4 to under 2. All right. This came from the BGS Intimate Homicide Trends. He said, and then they obviously states that looks like progress. But here's the part that's often left out. In the late 1970s and 80s, a black man was nearly 10 times more likely to be killed by a partner than a white man. A black woman was 5 times more likely to be killed than a white woman. Even by 2004, the risk was still 3 to 4 times higher. And I'm not sure whether that speaks to black men or black women. No, actually, I believe it speaks to black men. BGS, and that comes from also the BGS FBI Uniform Crime Reports. So you're getting all the sources here. Domestic violence campaigns in the 80s and the 90s told the story of white women as the primary victims, but the datum shows black men were being killed at the highest rate of anyone. All right? And that was rarely included in the narrative. All right? And this is Crenshaw, 1991. I believe that might be Beverly Crenshaw. I'm not sure. And Richie, 2012. Behind every statistic are families left without parents, children raised in the shadow of trauma, and communities bearing the cost. In the 1980s, intimate partner homicide, not just violence, homicide, was taking 1,000 plus black lives a year, draining billions in healthcare, legal costs, and lost productivity. All right, and that was based on the NU estimates cost of homicide. Miller et al., 1996. And it goes on to say, progress is real, but the silence around who paid the highest price and how disproportionate that burden was still lingers. And you can check the citations, all right, the Bureau of Justice Statistics, Intimate Partner Homicide, Victims Trends, 1976 to 2004, the FBI Uniform Crime Reports, acronym UCR, Homicide Tables, which is presented here. You can't see them, but I and you can read them, though, if you ever want to look this up. B. Ritchie, 2012, Arrested Justice, Black Women, Violence in America's Prison Nation, NYU Press, so New York University Press, and let me see. So yeah, that was Kimberly Crenshaw, 1991. Kimberly Crenshaw, 1991. Mapping the Margins, Intersectionality, Identity Politics, and Violence Against Women of Color, Stanford Law Review. And you also have T. Miller and M. Cohen and B. Wiersma. Some of these names. 1996, Victims, Cause, and Consequences, A New Look at National Injustice. A New Look from the National Institute of Justice. All right. So, you know, and I wanted to address those things because the whole notion of blaming black men for things that are without our control, out of our control, it comes at a cost, right? And it's identified as the black male humiliation ritual. So I want y'all to check this out, right? This is some clips that was used by the Crimson Cure. You know where it's Kendra D. I want y'all to hear some of the things that some of the things she clipped up. And unfortunately, I couldn't find the original clip because that was my intent, was to find the original clip, but I couldn't do it. I looked and searched for that clip all for about 2 days, and I couldn't find it. So I want y'all to hear this clip. So if y'all see me, if y'all feel me speeding up, it's because I'm not trying to necessarily get her reaction. We might get a little bit of it, but I really want y'all to hear this conversation. And I think this from like people who were formerly on the controversial, infamous new show, the Pop the Balloon show. So hold on.
So let me say this. Wow. I mean, how many PlayStations have you bought?
I bought a lot of them, and Xboxes, and GameCubes, and Wii's, all types.
Because you mentioned that with a passion.
Man, look, it's something that we all done went through. We all just don't speak on it.
Speak on
it. We all done dated women with kids, and we all done got the short end of the stick. It's just we all deal with it in different ways. Some of us speak out on it, some of us don't. They always get the bigger end.
Some of the stuff that you said, I feel like I'm talking out of hurt. For it's just me.
I'm talking out of hurt. You see that these men ain't disagreeing.
That's just what I think.
And why don't one man disagree with
you? Cause you're the only person talking, really.
Do any man disagree with what I have said so far? Speak now. If you do, it's fine.
Hey, don't put me in
this. No, I'm for real. I said any man.
And that's the problem right there. That brother was speaking the truth that we've actually had conversations about. We've talked about in barbershops. I've had people who have reached out to me after watching a lot of my lives, a lot of my videos, especially my old before YouTube decided to discipline me in regards to my channel. But a lot of brothers would reach out. Some brothers I knew personally, they would call me. And the messages were endless about the types of things that brothers were holding in, holding back. But in terms of dealing with this, y'all going to see why these brothers are simping like this right now when they have an opportunity to stand tall. And yeah, y'all going to see.
I'm staying out the way on that. So some of it is legit.
If I'm honest.
I'm ready for this.
I'm with him, but I'm not with him. Let me tell you why I'm with him. Some of the things that he's saying makes sense, but I think that when you get with the right woman, you guys communicate, then everything can go the way he's saying.
Love it.
So like I think he's referring to a submissive woman. And I think that you have to communicate with the woman on a certain level to find out if she is submissive, and then you'll have it. He'll get everything he's talking about, but he's not dealing with submissive women. He's just dealing with, I don't know. I'm dealing with women that's manipulative. Like women nowadays, the they only want to be submissive when it fits them.
And that right there is the point. You know, one of the points that we're dealing with, all right, conditional femininity. There's no such thing as conditional femininity. Either you're feminine or you're not. So when you are conditionally feminine, that is a manipulation tactic that has been used and it's been effective. Look at how effective it is right now. These brothers will, some of these brothers that spoke out against the first brother will jump through hoops just to get a taste of what they believe is true submission. But it's not submission, it's manipulation. But I'm gonna let the brother keep speaking.
They'll be submissive when we're going on trips and when I'm paying the rent and whenever their car break down, I'm getting it fixed and whenever everything else is going good. When I tell you don't go to the club, it's a problem. You submissive whenever you want to be. But whenever I tell you to do something you don't want to do, now you're no longer submissive. That's not going for me.
I can't lie to you. He got some truth in there.
That's true. That's true.
I'm going to keep it a book.
But
what I noticed, I'm noticing that more so in the generation that came before me. And
y'all might notice a pattern of simping from this one brother. It's going to come out in a minute why he's simping like this.
The 30 and down. The ones that's around my age and up, they're a little better. But you
Now I want y'all to hear that, right? Because he's trying to downplay it in terms of, well, this is a previous generation's problem or this is generational and so forth. What did Erykah Badu say
at the beginning of this show. What did she say? Let's go back and listen to what Erykah Badu said again about how she developed, how she learned to utilize or how she learned to create the origin story of the song Tyrone.
Also, but I don't want to be pigeonholed to creating one type of thing.
Okay, here we go. I had to speak up.
You wrote, it was an inside joke of a song, which ironically became my most popular. What was the joke?
It was like my sister and I. Hey, Coco, we always imitate our aunts.
All right. That's every generation. We always imitate our aunts. Listen further.
You know, and they would be fussing or talking about the guy or what he needs to do better. Tearing him down.
Tearing him down. All right. I'm just saying. So for this one brother to continuously say that it depends on this and it depends on that. Okay. All right. I'm gonna let y'all hear him. A little bit.
You know, them young ones, they've been having the little issues, you know. They do all of it, and then no offense, baby, but it's too much of the snapbacks of the hands and all that extra. But like you said, when you're doing for them, everything good.
So too much talking about?
I might be with you on this a little bit.
They're not letting us lead.
Yeah,
we need to be able to lead, but how can I lead a woman who every time I say something, she got something to say back? So you get in a relationship with a man who you feel like going to do better by you and get you in a better place in life, but you don't want to listen to him. Why are you with him?
I can't even listen to a man or be led by a man that's going to lead me into darkness. If I see off rip that you're going to lead me into some BS, let me take the reins. I'm going to have to take the reins to be masculine. Don't no woman wants to be masculine.
Well, pick better men today.
Listen.
And she's lying about no woman want to be masculine. All you got to do is go to the gym and see women working out and look at them flex whenever they accomplish some goal or complete a workout, or they're in the mirror posing. They're not in the posing doing. They're not in the women. I mean, in the mirror doing feminine poses. They're not showing their curves. They're not showing how they've improved their physique. No, they are flexing like they were just in the WWE, WWF, whatever era you grew up in. You grew up watching. They are flexing in the mirror like they're flexing for a poster to advertise the next wrestling match. The next UFC fight. They're not post. They're not. And that's just the gym. And we know the hyper aggression our women show us. I mean, do we need to go back to the whole Shakari Richardson thing? For which I'm not going to cover that today. Right. I'm going to do a standalone video. I mean, clip. Sorry. I'm so used to doing live streams. I'm going to do a standalone recording of that. But I want y'all to hear something else, though, because I want to try to go further down. Let me see.
But his point, my point is his point. Everybody will be better off if we just told the truth about it. I don't want to talk to you no more because XYZ. The women don't have no problem saying even goofy stuff. That it could be stuff that don't matter to nobody nowhere. And they'll say the stupidest stuff talking about. Why they don't deal with a man? They don't deal with him because his socks wasn't matching. You know, the goofiest stuff. They don't care about saying it because they get away with saying it.
And that's also part of the black male humiliation ritual. All right. So let me go a little further on. See if I can catch this next part that I really want to catch.
On you.
All right.
I'm going to let the rest of it play.
I'm in a phase right now where I feel like if I date a man, I have been rejecting a lot of men lately because their objective is to have sex. I don't want to have sex.
You can't stop that from now. It's already been implanted.
How are you willing to, like, with...
I
wait for it a little bit, but I ain't waiting forever.
I see somebody.
Ain't nobody waiting that long.
I ain't waiting forever.
I was just telling them, like, the problem is y'all got too many men that's lying to y'all. Listen to me. Yes. It will be five men. Yes. It will be literally five. I'll say 10 men. You go on a date with 10 men. You tell these 10 men or nine of them, man, look, I messed with seven dudes this week. The seven dudes the eight or nine dudes going to be like, yeah, okay, well, look, you messed with seven dudes this week. You're not a hoe.
You can do what you want to do. You make your own money. It's life. If you want to mess with whoever you want to mess with, you can. And guess what they want right after? The same coochie.
Yep.
But then you're going to have that 10th man that come on that date and tell you, look, you ain't supposed to be messing with all these men. You ain't supposed to be doing this. You ain't supposed to be doing that. But in your head, hold on. You the only one telling me this. The other nine ain't telling me this. So when the other nine get into line with that one and tell the truth, everything else will be cool. Y'all get lied to and y'all live in these worlds of these men lying to y'all.
Yeah, it's a facade. It's a facade. It's very
you
sad.
Have to get out of your world and get into reality.
Come on, what's now. Going on?
Now, one of the things I want y'all to see is the fact that all these men, right, all the women are now in agreement with the brother that was standing 10 toes down. You know, they were in agreement. Now, I want y'all to peep it because it's coming.
No.
Okay.
I would say this, being the host, I see a lot of smoke and mirrors all the time. I very rarely get the chance to see people for themselves. And I find out so much about people after the show. Even like I go through extremes of vetting, getting on FaceTimes, all that. And it's still so many facades, so many smoke and mirrors. So I agree with that. People be more authentic, be yourself, you know. Practice telling yourself the truth so you can know how to tell other people the truth.
We be knowing what's going on. That's just like with her. She knew she would have said she was a stripper or something. That was the problem with my last girlfriend. Listen, I'm not dating no more strippers.
Though, that's why I said that's my current job. Like
all the men are.
All of that was.
I'm trying to get to the point.
Tell a chick, don't do it. You didn't talk yourself out.
All right, so, and I'm sorry, y'all. I should have had this ready prior to. My life be lifing sometimes, so a lot of times, you know, a lot of this y'all be surprised at how I do these, how I put these programs together. For the most part, they're extremely organized, but sometimes, man, I just got to go off the rip. But there was another part in there where the brothers was talking about they'll say things or they'll lie to the women just so they'll still have access to sex. And the one brother was, you know, basically saying you just got to be you. You got to be 100 upfront. You got to tell her about your standards. You got to create your boundaries early. And stand on that, whether or not you get sex or whatever. And, you know, the brothers are like, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to get the coochie. And these are weak brothers I'm talking about who are out there messing it up for us. They are complicit in the black man humiliation ritual. Because they'll go along to get along as long as they think they're going to get some. And we don't even have honest conversations because a lot of times the sex is trash out here. If we're going to be honest, if we're going to be telling it on the mountain, sometimes the sex out here is straight garbage. It's trash, you know.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know, it's wild out here. And so we don't tell the truth about it. So a lot of times, that's why a lot of times brothers are finally get some and then they leave the women alone. Like they ghost them, you know. But until then, it's...
You cannot take that doll.
No.
You cannot take that doll.
So, you know, we just got to be... Brothers, y'all got to be more solid than this. When it comes to holding people accountable for us. And being in alignment. This is one of the reasons why black men don't get respected around the world is because we fold. Too many of us fold. And I want y'all, you know, there's some other aspects that I want y'all to listen to. Check this out, right? Because a lot of times, brothers, you get shamed a lot of times because of the financial circumstances that you find yourself in. And then we're dealing with an economy that's totally trash right now and nobody's offering you grace. I want you to see when they start talking about, oh, my daddy did this, my daddy did that, you know, and I came out like this. I want y'all to listen to how things have changed in terms of the cost of living from that period of time to now.
The cost of living 1977. Buying a brand new home averaged around $49,300. Renting a two-bedroom apartment cost about $240 a month. A new car, like a Chevy Impala or Ford LTD, was roughly $4,785. Gasoline, just 62 cents a gallon. You could fill your tank for under $10. Monthly electricity bills averaged $35, and cable TV, if you had it, was about $8. Long-distance calls still cost money, with a basic landline running about $10 per month. Groceries were a bargain. A loaf of bread was 36 cents, a dozen eggs 82 cents, and a gallon of milk $1.68. Ground beef sold for 77 cents per pound, bananas for 28 cents per pound, and a frozen TV dinner could be yours for under $1. Entertainment was just as affordable. Movie tickets were $2.23, and a haircut was around $5. Looking back, 1977 was a time when a little money went a long way. No smartphones, no streaming, just vinyl records, Saturday nights at the movies, and prices we wish we still had today. Comment your birth decade. We'll feature one in the next video.
All right. So yeah, this whole notion that you as black men have to be this new carriage of you know, the financial burdens and things of that nature. You know what I say to that?
It's like, yeah, but whole time it's like the fuck no. You feel me?
That's kind of how I see that. But you know, black men are actually starting to move in the right direction. And perspective is a mother, right? So I want y'all to peep. I have a few rants that I want y'all to hear. All right. So this whole notion that black men are suffering from loneliness, right? Yeah, we get lonely, right? Men, period. People get lonely, right? But our type of loneliness is not necessarily because we crave the presence of a woman. A lot of times, our type of loneliness is just based on the fact that we keep our social circle small. And, you know, sometimes, you know, there are times when we don't want to be bothered, but there's also times we want to be social. But it doesn't have anything to do, because I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of black men who have been in these relationships park their cars outside the house for hours at the time. I see men now who are married, parked out. They don't even have a job. They're retired. They come out the house and just sit in their car for 2 hours. Just sit in their car for 2 hours, just away from it all. Just sitting in their car. Right? So I want y'all to check this out. Hold on. I want y'all to check this out. Because, you know, this brother is going to spit something here that I think that we've all come to an understanding.
So I want to talk about this female loneliness epidemic we got going on, right? It's bad. See, they've been trying to say it was the man trying to use reverse psychology, but it was never the men. It was always the women. Now, you can try to prove me wrong if you want to, but before you do it, I'm going to tell you, you're going to fail epically. You're going to fail big time. The reason I say it's a female loneliness epidemic and not a male loneliness epidemic is because look at what you see on social media, right? You see all these women coming to the internet talking about how men don't approach them. You don't see men doing that. That is women. Then you got all these women complaining about the passport bros, talking about they got to go overseas to find women. That's because they lonely and bitter. You don't see men complaining about women going overseas finding men, because men are not the lonely ones. And this is the nail in the coffin, right? To prove that we have a female loneliness epidemic, this is the nail in the coffin. How many women do you see sharing men? Knowingly sharing men. How many women do you see sharing men? How many women do you see sharing the same baby daddy? One man can have like 5 women pregnant, all in the same area. Would you mean to tell me we have a male loneliness epidemic? No, we have a female loneliness epidemic. And that proves it. Look at how many women putting up with bums. Here it is, you have a man laying in your house with no job, no car, no source of income. But yet, he is laying in your house, getting your goodies, shooting the club up. Then leaving your house, going to another woman's house, doing the same thing. And then turn around and have these two women fighting over this man with no income. Yeah, bro. We got a serious female loneliness epidemic.
That's one. Hold on. I got more. Now, I ain't gonna hold y'all. Buckle your seatbelts, because this brother right here, if you want to talk about a rant, oh my God, check this out.
Listen, let's keep it 100 now. Black men have finally woken up, and that shit is going on everywhere now in all 50 states of America. You feel me? I remember, bro, when black men were taking females out on free dates. No more free dates. Nope. Not for the majority of y'all, because majority of y'all are using men for their motherfucking money, for motherfucking food, to goddamn buy food for your kids on a date, all type of funny ass shit. That shit to stop. I remember, bro, when I was growing up, landlords used to let females give them pussy for the rent. You feel me? They ain't got to pay the rent. They got to fuck the landlord. Now the rent is so high that the landlord is saying, oh, girl, your pussy ain't worth no $1,400. Or your pussy ain't worth no $1,000. Y'all bitches got to pay now. You know what I'm talking about? Even these old ass niggas waking up. You feel me? Everybody waking up. The simps, the rich niggas, the working men, the drug dealers, the scammers. All men waking up, especially black men. You feel me? No more playing stepdaddy. Niggas seeing the benefit for that shit. And that shit is a lose-lose. You get into it with the mama. You got to get into it with the kids. You feel me? And they got them kids grow up. The kids go say, thank their mama. They ain't going to thank the stepdaddy for doing shit. And the stepdaddy got to provide for these motherfucking kids that ain't his, but he can't discipline them. That's crazy as the fuck. Something else I noticed too. The strip club and the nightlife. Boy, the strip clubs are suffering. You feel me? Niggas ain't going to the strip club. Niggas ain't throwing money. Niggas ain't going out to the club at night like that. Only simp niggas and young niggas going. And the young niggas ain't got nothing for you. And y'all don't want the simp niggas. So shit, boy, this shit get real fucked up for y'all out here. You know what I'm talking about? Drug dealers and scammers ain't even giving up money no more. Drug dealers and scammers? Shit, the drug dealers watching Kevin Samuel too. The scammers don't watch Kevin Samuel too. You feel me? Now we have so many men speaking up. We talking to each other. You feel me? I'm calling my homeboys and telling them, "Boy, hey, boy, look at this goddamn episode, boy. This female saying so and so. You know what I'm saying? Look at this episode, bro. Kevin Samuel saying so and so and so. You know what I'm talking about? It's so many podcasts now that's revealing the bad behavior and bad characteristics of black women. It's crazy, bro. Niggas waking up. Listen, even the studs waking up. The studs talking about they don't want to play stepdaddy neither. Y'all using the fuck out of the studs. You know what I'm talking about? If you look at domestic violence and relationships, girl on girl, lesbian and lesbian, has the most domestic violence, bro. Y'all fighting each other because both of y'all emotional, bro. The studs even tired of this shit. You feel me? And guess what? 9 to 5 men was the most men watching Kevin Samuel. And we heard how y'all talk about regular niggas who make under $100,000. We heard that shit out of y'all own mouth, that y'all really don't fuck with us. Only reason y'all go fuck with us if y'all can't get a high value man and y'all get older and now y'all feel like y'all gotta settle. Y'all don't think that, bro, that we see y'all shit on the internet and we hear y'all talk. Y'all stupid as fuck. Stupid, man. That shit crazy. The 9 to 5 man down there saying fuck y'all, man. Not all y'all, but majority of y'all. So we heard how y'all talk on Kevin Samuel's show. Y'all don't give a fuck about us. You talking about something else goddamn black men waking up to. The weave and the makeup. Bitch, you don't look the same without the weave and the makeup and the lashes. So you telling us you a dime, we think you a dime, but then you get in person and take that shit off, you got a fucked up face, fucked up hair, and a fucked up attitude. Shut your ugly ass up, girl. You ugly as fuck. You feel me? And niggas fed up with that shit. You can't be ugly and have an attitude. You can't be fat and have an attitude. That shit ain't where it's at. The bad attitudes. See what black men doing now? Y'all got that T-app? We don't need the T-app. You feel me? We calling each other. Hey, bro, don't fuck with that bitch, man. That bitch got a fucked up attitude, my nigga. You feel me? Don't even fuck that home, bro. We damn near low-low blackballing y'all on a low. You feel me? On the low-low. Shit starting to change, bro. It ain't no gay shit. It ain't no sassy shit. Niggas going out to another country to get a female. One nigga dealing with white females. A nigga's barely finding a needle in a haystack, a black woman with a good attitude. That's on God. None of y'all, most of y'all ain't got no good characteristics. You feel me? And y'all ain't got no class. Y'all talk ratchet, y'all act ratchet. Everything about y'all ratchet. The only place y'all ain't ratchet is at your goddamn job. And the last thing is, most of y'all are social media prostitutes, panhandlers. You feel me? On your birthday, you put your cash app on social media. What the fuck is that? That's some bum shit. You feel me? Black men are waking up, bro. You feel me? This is the revolution right now. Black men waking up and standing up, bro. On God.
Yeah, brothers are not doing this shit no more. Black men are not taking this shit no more. And you know, because we've all had our versions, Sha'Carri Richardson's. I've had several, right? Some of them I've never even had relationships with, you know? And this whole concept of dealing with the humiliation aspect of just being with a woman, it ain't worth it. The pandemic, and shout out to BGS Itmore for pointing this out, and then later other pundits have sort of you know, followed his, tugged on his coattails for this particular notion. The pandemic showed men that they can survive without being in the presence of a woman. And a lot of brothers, like the whole shaming, oh, y'all do it, play video games. They would rather play video games. See, men socialize over the video games. So I don't have to be in the same room with you to have a full-fledged conversation. Some of my best friends are not even in the same city that I'm in. And I talk to those brothers all the time. And some aren't even in America. And I talk to these brothers all the time. It's over. And it's going to stick this time. And with this economy going the way it's going, we are fully aware of the reach back. We're fully aware. But we're also fully aware that because a lot of the members of the sisterhood did not have the foresight to see this day coming, when you didn't think you needed your men for anything, y'all sure as hell gave us y'all ass to kiss. Y'all sure enough showed us the door and pointed to the footsteps on the floor. Or the prints on the floor. Y'all told us how y'all don't need us. Yeah, even some people, right? Because I'm pretty sure the woman that did that video, a lot of these women out here doing these videos about how they don't like black men, a lot of that's changing. You get a lot of pushback. Because The other sisters that kiki'd on the side, they're feeling the side because they thought that they wouldn't be collateral damage. But that's what happens. They say when evil persists, when the good people stand around and do nothing. All right. So that wicked nature, wicked attitude you had towards black men, that is why the brothers are moving on and not turning back. I tried to tell sisters about 4 or 5 years ago. I said, listen, y'all don't know, but the brothers have already left the building. A lot of them. The ones y'all desire. Because most brothers are invisible to y'all. But the ones y'all desire, they, like Elvis, they have left the building. I've tried to sell you over and over again. Didn't want to listen. I said, you are screaming and hollering, they can't hear you. You're in places that they're in places you can't reach. Your voice don't carry. You have to learn on your own. And what's happening now with the current president, Agent 47, in there removing, just closing off jobs. White women are leaving the workforce because of the high rising cost of childcare. A lot of white women are going back to their homes, and they're under the protection and the provision of their husbands. So they don't have to go to work. They did the math. It's cheaper for them to stay home. A lot of single mothers don't have that option. Gotta work. And you can't work if you don't have a job. And I told them, we done shows on the car epidemic, living in my car, living in my best life in a van epidemic, you know, living in storage containers. All types of, like, literally in storage facilities. All types of stuff. And them things are nasty too, by the way. Every time I talk to somebody who has things in the storage container, they have to file a report because their supplies or whatever they've had stores, the furniture, whatever, is getting ravaged by rats and mice all over the place. It's just horrible. So my brothers are waking up, and brothers, is about damn time. Those simps that are out there, those simps are starting to dry up too. Because this shit is not being, it's not cost effective for them to maintain their level of simping. So as I often say, brothers, wake up, understand where you are in the world, become politically educated on your role as a black man. And as I always say, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And I am out of here.